Thank you, Brother John. We look then to our Brother Brian O'Grady to address us in the first part entitled The Universal Work of the Elohim with the Nations. Brother Brian.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've read together, there is the indication from Daniel that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and setteth up whomsoever he will. And when we look at the universal work that God does with the nations, we know that his medium by which he does this is the group called the Elohim, the Mighty Ones, that Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. He describes them as ministering spirits sent forth to serve those who are to be heirs of salvation. And when we take that thought from Hebrews chapter 1, and we then look at the whole pattern of world history, when we look at the words of Daniel the prophet and others, we discover there is a very clear pattern. There is a universal work that has been going on from the days of Adam and Eve right through to our day, and ultimately to the time when the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. And that work, brothers and sisters, is being accomplished by the medium of God's servants, the angels or the Elohim. Now, as we look through the subject of the Elohim tonight, we're going to be looking at them not merely as the ones that exercise God's will and purpose now, but we're going to be looking at that subject in relationship to your work and my work in the kingdom also. Because as we come to understand the way that God works in the affairs of the nations today, so also we will discover the way that we will be educating and developing the peoples in the kingdom age. And that's the same theme that will go on in our next study also, God willing, as we look at the role of those Elohim, those same angels, in the work of the time of judgment, our judgment, and the instrumental work which they will be doing in developing and moulding a character which is well-pleasing unto the Father. We will look at the close relationship that we share together with them, not only now, but in that day of the return of our Lord. And we will see purpose and design in the work which they are accomplishing. And so on two scales, brothers and sisters, we look firstly in the first study at the way that the Elohim work in the affairs of the nations. Now when we look at world history, and we see the course of history that's taken its part, we can understand clearly that many people have lived and died on this planet who are totally ignorant of God's ways, who are totally unaware of the fact that God is working in the affairs of the nations. So who, therefore, is going to gain the benefit from such evidence coming forth from the Word? But the saints, those that come to understand and appreciate the hand of God at work in their life. So let us come together to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. We are introduced to a very specific title that is used in this verse, the title of Adonai Yahweh, He who will be rulers. And as we go through the subject of the Elohim, God willing, we will see the very great significance there is in the type of titles that are used. We will look at the work of the Elohim. We'll look at the work of Yahweh Sabaoth, God in his belligerent manifestation as he goes forth in the work of judgment. We'll look at the work of Yahweh being demonstrated as the rulers, ultimately, of the future age. And so when we look at these words in verse 7, and we see the titles Adonai Yahweh, immediately it tells us that it's something to do with God's purpose of rulership upon this earth. So when we read together these words, surely Adonai Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Now, when we look at that statement, the term secret means a session. That is a company of persons in close deliberation. It's involving intimacy and consultation together. It's talking about God's servants, the Elohim, that are working together as the Father communicates to them his purpose with mankind on the earth. And in that close deliberation with that company of persons, the Father is there consulting with them and explaining to them the work that they will be doing as his servants, unfolding world history before them. Now we know, brothers and sisters, that not all events would shine to those angels, that the Elohim, as they ministered to the needs of Yahweh's purpose, were ignorant of certain elements, key elements of the grand and glorious work. For instance, concerning the coming of Christ. No man knows the day nor the hour, no, not the angels which are in heaven. And so they were kept in deliberate ignorance, so to speak, of certain elements of God's eternal purpose. And yet the work that they were involved in, they were able to get that beautiful picture and work together with the Almighty in these things. And so the consultations that Yahweh had with his servants were therefore revealed, as he revealed his secret, unto his servants the prophets. So what it's telling us is that in the prophetic word, the very things that God is able to deal with his Elohim, the angels, have therefore been recorded in the word of truth through the writings of the prophets. Let's have a look in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 6. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now you look at that verse in the light of the one from Amos 3, and what does it tell us? These sayings are faithful and true. Why? The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel as a messenger to show to his servants the things which must shortly be done. Well, that's exactly what Amos chapter 3 was telling us. But in close deliberation with his servants, the Elohim, he who will be rulers, the one who would finally rule the whole earth, was sending those messengers forth to do his work. But that secret was revealed to the servants, the prophets. And now, the one that is faithful and true, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets, the one who gave the message to the prophets of old, has now sent his messengers to show to his servants the things which must shortly be done. And so what's the purpose of prophecy, brothers and sisters? It is clear. It is there for the sake of his servants. And we're in a wonderfully blessed position when we contemplate the fact that the whole family in heaven that has been involved in this grand and glorious work of the creation of this world and placing man upon it, that has seen the exercise of man's dominion over the animals fail as the serpent took the role of dominion over the woman. And then as we see the changes that took place, the deterioration of the human race, we saw sin moving its course through the history of the world. We've seen the lifting of nations and the destruction of nations. But there, all the way through, his servants can look into the things through the pages of that word. And we therefore share together with the whole family in heaven, brothers and sisters. The family in earth can share together in the mind of Yahweh as he has revealed it to those people. Let's have a look, for instance, in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 20 and 21. As the angel came through to Daniel, at the end of this discussion, he says this in verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So here is one of Yahweh's messengers giving the message to one of the prophets and explaining to him what he is doing. Exactly what Amos was talking about. But look at this in verse 21. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. None that strengthened himself, as the margin says, with me in these things, but Michael your prince, the one who is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at that picture, we see the Elohim involved in this work, the Lord Jesus Christ and demonstrated here as well, understanding these things and holding together with this, strengthening himself in the understanding of those things. And there we see the grand and glorious purpose of the Almighty being unfolded in the pages of that prophetic word. How important it is, brothers and sisters, as you and I take hold of this same word. Our minds can therefore be lifted and to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We can learn to appreciate and understand the hand of the Father at work. As our brethren have done in days gone by, as over the centuries, the millennia, the faithful have been able to witness in their time, as they have seen the purpose of the Almighty unfolding just as the prophets had said it would. What excitement for them as they saw those things happen. And you know, we sit in that day, brothers and sisters, just before our Lord returns. And there it is revealed through his servants, the prophets, the deliberation with the Elohim, and it's unfolding all around us. In the terms of the Song of Solomon, the bride says, "There's the voice of my beloved leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills." She hasn't heard his voice, except through the pages of the Word. And what our Lord has spoken to us, brothers and sisters, we are watching happening in the affairs of the world. Leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, as the Lord Jesus Christ is testifying to you and to me that his coming is so near. And that's why, because the Word has expressed that great purpose, as God has deliberated together with his Elohim, and our Lord Jesus Christ has referred us to the pages of Scripture. He's revealed to us in that last love letter of the grand work of history as it would unfold through the apocalypse, coming through to the time of the culmination with his return and the establishment of the kingdom, and ending up with a beyond afterwards, when the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And so, it's rather like a blueprint, isn't it? A blueprint for the work of the Father. We are now going to consider their work with the nations. And as we do, we're going to see the significance of this particular statement, which I'd like you to turn to in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. It's a statement of purpose for the Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. Says this, "I know that whatsoever Elohim doeth, it shall be for the Olam. Whatever Elohim do, it shall be forever. It shall be for the Olam. And God has set for them an appointed time to do things by." And that all ties in perfectly with God's purpose that's recorded there in chapter 3, verse 1. "To everything there is a season, an appointed occasion, and a time, a duration or a terminating point to the whole purpose that is under the heaven." And so, brothers and sisters, there is God's express plan and purpose unfolding for us through the pages of history. There is an appointed occasion and a cut-off point to the whole purpose that God has intended under the heaven. "And therefore, I know," says Solomon, "that whatever Elohim doeth, it is for the Olam. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and Elohim do it, that men should fear before him." And so as we see the mighty work that is involved in this, that awe and respect for the power of our Father can be taken hold of because we understand the Word has revealed the mind of our Father, and we can share together in the events not only of world history, brothers and sisters, but the current events that are taking place in our own personal lives. What generation of Christadelphia has experienced the things that we see today? Our lives are absolutely filled with the work of the Elohim as we're seeing it unfolding amongst the nations. What speed, what rapidity which they can work with when the purpose of the Father requires it. What extended, long out, drawn out mercy there is when the purpose of the Father requires that. And so you and I know personally in our lives the patience and the long-suffering of a Father who patiently works with us as his children to bring about the manifestation of the sons of God. And yet so promptly we still saw the hand of the Father at work in the Gulf War in recent times. We saw the way that the Western nations could be drawn into that area so quickly. It's rather like a testimony to us, isn't it? You look at the situation of AD 17, the overthrow of Jerusalem. You look at the warning that the brethren were given in those days. And there we see for ourselves, brothers and sisters, the speed with which the Father can work today. It's almost as if it's a warning showing to us that's what we can expect to happen in the last days. The quick movement of the nations to fulfill his purpose. And so with that speed, The Elohim have been working, and we have actually witnessed those things taking place. And so the appointed time is established, and it ties in perfectly with God's purpose, finally ending in the glory of the kingdom. So we can expect then that there will be a pattern to unfold in world history that will confirm these things. And it's true that patterns are in evidence. And when we accept that the mind of Yahweh is revealed in all of it, and then with great confidence we can decipher the most complex subjects in the Word. And really that's what Brother Thomas did. As he looked at the world events, and he looked at Bible prophecy and world events through the light of Bible prophecy, he saw the patterns unfolding in ancient history. And he started right there in the very beginning as he laid the foundations down there in Genesis 1, 2 and 3. And as Brother Thomas picked up the simple concepts of the truth as we know them there, and he went into the prophetic word, he could see an extension of those same principles. And there was the stamp of the guarantee of the truth of what was being said. It was all totally consistent with what the word was recording. Look at the chapter in Daniel that we read together, Daniel chapter 4. And there, for instance, in verse 23, we came across these words. Whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. And so the close deliberations that Yahweh entered into with his servants, the Elohim of that day, the Holy One comes down, saw a watcher and an Holy One come down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth. And so with a simple statement like that, the work took place in one of the greatest kings that the world had ever seen. Look in verse 17 in this chapter. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. And the purpose that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth over it he that is set at naught of men. And so the purpose, again, brothers and sisters, of the unfolding of world history according to Bible prophecy is to demonstrate to a particular group called the living that they may know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. But not only that, he will give it to him that is set at naught of men, as Rotherham's translation shows. So in verse 25 in this chapter, it continued on there from verse 24 for connection. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. To what purpose? Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So as we know, there's the express purpose of the Father, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. So in that ruling process, brothers and sisters, nations are set up and nations are abased. Civilizations have been wiped off the face of the earth, and it is according to the purpose of God. Let's have a look in Revelation 16 in verses 12 to 14. As we see again the unfolding of the purpose of the Father. We see the sixth angel pouring out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, the purpose that the ways of the kings of the sun's rising might be prepared. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole habitable, the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So what do those words tell us? As we look at world history, we know that it's unfolding the purpose of the Father. And we saw those events taking place, brothers and sisters, but the purpose is what is important for us as well. Because it is going through to the time when they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world for the purpose to gather them to the battle that great day of God Almighty. And so we watch, brothers and sisters, and we see the work of the Father taking place in our lives. We see the universal work of the Elohim in amongst the nations. And we know there is purpose and design in it. And we can be confident of the power that is being demonstrated in all these things. And it's the work of our Heavenly Father who has delegated the privilege and the responsibility to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish it. Now, patterns were established in the early history of the human race, which would become prototypes for the prophetic word. For example, let's consider the element of Babylon. That became the type of a politico-religious system which would gather immense power and wealth and reveal itself as the enemy of God's word and the enemy of his people. It had its roots in Babel, in Genesis chapter 11. And what do we know about that group? They were a group who rejected God's covenant word and set about to build an edifice in defiance of Yahweh. Their leader was Nimrod. We will rebel, as it means. And they moved to Asher and built Nineveh. Then Nebuchadnezzar picked up where Nimrod left off, in Daniel chapter 4 that we're looking at, and verse 30. Let's have a look at that. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. As he comes to this statement, the king spake and said in verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty?" Look at those statements. There's the spirit of defiance. There's the spirit of the elevation of himself. That's the roots of that attitude way back there in Babel. "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty?" You see, its overthrow is also foretold as we look at Isaiah chapter 13 and verses 11 and 14. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 11. As we look at the context, "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." Verse 14, "It shall be as the chaste roe and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one to his own land." And then in verse 19, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." And there is the description given of the desolations of that system. And so its overthrow was foretold. Likewise in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verses 60 to 64. Jeremiah 51 verses 60 to 64. Remember, this is according to the decree of the watchers, brothers and sisters. This is due to the close deliberations and consultations of Yahweh with the Elohim. And they are the ones that would fulfill these purposes, to fulfill the purpose of God, for the sake of those that would watch on that know and understand that prophetic word. Verse 60. Jeremiah wrote in the book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. Jeremiah said to Seraiah, "When thou comest to Babylon, shalt see and shall read all these words. Then shalt thou say, O Yahweh, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. It shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates, and thus thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I'll bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now this comes true to the latter day Babylonian as well. It comes right through, brothers and sisters, from what we see in the overthrow of that ancient system of Babylon, the latter day Babylonian, the religious system, standing for the same principles, Rome. Because we take up the same language in Revelation 18 in verse 2. And that's why when we look at the universal work of the Elohim with the nations, we can lock into these key patterns and can be confident of what we're talking about. Because it fulfills that pattern that occurs all the way through Scripture. Revelation 18 verse 2. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen. Has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All nations are drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Look at verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And look at verse 24. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that was slain upon the earth. And there's that same Nimrudian empire, brothers and sisters, the same spirit as we saw back there in Genesis. It's flowing right through Scripture. It is now evidenced here in the Apocalypse. And it's demonstrating that that same conflicting state that Yahweh saw at the beginning, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and thy seed and her seed. That hatred as the opposing party is evidenced all the way through Scripture. And we can thank the Father that he has given to us the type of evidence that we can pick up today. And identify the conflict that you and I are in with that terrible system which will ultimately be overthrown and destroyed, even as that ancient territory of Babylon was destroyed. So, looking at the antagonism that those people showed against Yahweh's word and his people, of a political and a religious nature, that's exactly what we could expect all the way through the pages of Scripture, through the pages of history. But what does this involve for the Elohim? You see, the Elohim started the working on that pattern from the Garden of Eden, when Eve went astray after the serpent's reasoning. When the Word of God was opposed, and an alternative was being propounded. The kingdom of men versus the kingdom of God. We saw that state of conflict in that one family with Cain and Abel. We looked at it in the time of the flood, when in that terrible state the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took them whomsoever they chose. And the commentary that Yahweh leaves there for us is this, that when he looks upon the world at that time, he says, all flesh has corrupted his way upon the earth. And we look tragically at the ecclesia of the days of Noah, brothers and sisters. And that was the divine commentary that God could state concerning not only the world, but the ecclesia of that day. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Where's the hatred as the opposing party? Where's the continuing of that state of conflict? You see what had happened? The differences had become blurred. The minds of the brethren were drawn. And they committed fornication. They left their first love. And they became espoused to another. And the ways of Yahweh were corrupted upon the earth. He brought a flood to destroy man. And yet out of all that, we know of the salvation of Noah and his family. And what principles of salvation were based on. And today we see exactly the same for ourselves. We know the principles of salvation. We know our personal responsibility. And when we look at the world history, and we see the fact that the Elohim have been working with the nations, therefore you and I clearly we can see that pattern. of the way that God has worked in amongst the nations and shown that state of enmity all the way through. And it's there as a testimony for us today that as we take up that work and we fight that warfare of faith, we can see clearly the principles of the Babylonian system and the system of the true Bride of Christ. And that's why it's important for us to understand this. Because there in the days of Cain and Abel, there was the destruction. At the time of the flood, there was the destruction. Through to Babel, and Babel through to Babylon. And finally that heart system of Babylon was shown for what she is. Because you see, the same language of the apocalypse is the language that's shown in Isaiah chapter 47 and verses 7 to 11 concerning Babylon. Isaiah 47 and verses 7 to 11. Thou hast said, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thine heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. These two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. And they shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, for the great abundance of thine enchantments. And see, there's the language, isn't it? Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am none, and I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Now, the reason for this, brothers and sisters, is that the same Elohim that were working in those days are the Elohim that will be working in the overthrow of that Babylonian system. The Elohim are involved in all those situations. It has involved them having to work with different people, in different languages, in different countries, in different times, to bring out from all these pictures a very clear picture of opposition to Yahweh and his people. And so this edifice of human conflict against Yahweh is immense, but it will not prevail, because the word shows clearly the assurance is already written in the annals of history and prophecy. It will not prevail. And that's why with great confidence, brothers and sisters, we can stand forth this day as we look at the universal work of the Elohim with the nations, and we can see through the pages of history the way that God has already established that pattern, and we can look with confidence as we see what's happening today. That's why there is a faithful witness, brothers and sisters, to those that come to know their Elohim. You see, there's an interesting comment in Daniel chapter 11 concerning the time of the Maccabees. We won't turn to it. It says, he that knoweth their Elohim shall be strong and do. Interesting statement, isn't it? But he that know their Elohim shall be strong and do actions, or do works. And so there are two aspects involved in that. The ones who know the work of the Elohim have intense confidence in what they're doing in their life, and they shall therefore be strong. And time again in Scripture, we have the expression, be strong and of good courage, for I am with you. And there the Elohim are working through the affairs of history. And we can take it up in Daniel 11. We can come to our time. We can go back to Joshua's day. We can look at the time of Moses. And all the way through, be strong and of good courage, for I am with you. And Daniel 11 says, those that know their Elohim shall be strong and do. It's not just a matter of knowledge and gaining strength, but doing something with that understanding. And with the strength and confidence that comes by an understanding of God's purpose, you and I can work our lives of faith, brothers and sisters, so we can be living testimonies to the fact that God lives as the ecclesia of living God. And so now take the example of Egypt. You know the case in Genesis chapter 1, where we look at it and see that God divided light from darkness. And he declares that light was good. And in the principle of separation like that, we are introduced to one very significant principle called the principle of holiness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we take up this, that one little principle of light and darkness, and God dividing the light from the darkness, and you can therefore expect that principle to be enacted out in world history. The division of light from darkness. And it's always happened, hasn't it? And when we come to Egypt, we see it as the land of darkness. Let's have a look in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, verse 21 of Exodus 10, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And so, as Moses stretched forth his hand, darkness came across the land of Egypt, a thick darkness that one may feel. You can't get darkness darker than that, can you? The intensity of darkness is described in that language. And there it was, hovering over Egypt. Look at chapter 14 and verse 20. When the angel of God went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, in verse 19, the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. But look what it became. It came to the camp of the Egyptians in verse 20 and the camp of Israel. So we now have two camps. And there we find the pillar of cloud sitting there. It was a cloud and darkness to them. And it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. What a beautiful principle, brothers and sisters, that Yahweh is able to provide the principle of separation and division of light and darkness. It became darkness to Egypt, but light to Israel. And Israel was there, dwelling in the light that Yahweh gave them. That light was good to them. It enabled them to see. But when it came to the Egyptians, all the Egyptians could see was darkness. And it separated the two. It separated the two. And so Yahweh put difference and put darkness between them and the Egyptians. That was of God's doing. Egypt then became a parable of moral separation. It is done on the principle of God manifestation. Look at the plagues that took place against the nation of Egypt. And you look at the difference that God put between Egypt and the Israelites. You think of the crossing of the Red Sea, of the time when Israel went over dry shod, as they cried to Yahweh for help, and in their state of terror, Moses turns to God and asks him to help. And God says, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. For the Egyptians that you see today, you shall see no more. And as Moses stretched out his rod, brothers and sisters, and the waters departed, and the howling wind came down, and the great waters were parted up as quivering heaps of jelly, and there before them was a way of escape, and thundering along behind there were the Egyptians. And the children of Israel crossed through that Red Sea. And that time of their extremity, they understood that Yahweh was light to them. He opened up a way that they could see. But it wasn't easy, was it? It took faith to cross the Red Sea. Hebrews 11 says that. It was a state of terror. You think of the circumstances, brothers and sisters. Trapped, with no way out. With Egypt pounding down towards you. And before you is the great expanse of water. The only thing you can do is take a step forward, as God has provided that way of salvation. And as they crossed through that Red Sea, the ground started to shake. The thunder and the lightning struck. The great waters gushed out of the sea. And Israel were baptized into Moses. And there's your picture of the universal work of the Elohim with the nations. But Israel came through that. As they look back, the Egyptians were coming towards them. They were there in the midst of that sea. And according to the same dividing principle of God and, good, of light and darkness being divided, God divided the light from the darkness. The waters came back, and the Egyptians were drowned, and their bodies were washed up on the shore. And there was again a testimony of the separation between light and darkness. You see, when we can capture the principles by which God works, we will find a total consistency all the way through. Why? Because it is God's work. And with him there's no shadow, nor variableness, nor shadow of turning. And God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And so when we see the work of the Elohim amongst the nations, we can see a total consistent pattern. And we know the power of the one that's behind it. For the angels would have no power if it were not given to them by the one whom we term Ael, as the source of all power and might. How wonderful it is, isn't it? When we see the great work done like that, and we can look through the pages of the Word and see a totally consistent moral picture with the events unfolding in the nations. You see, that gives us an indication that the mind of the one that is working the affairs of the nations is the same one that has written the pages of this Word. It's the moral implications, the moral principles that are involved in the outworking of God's purpose among the nations that is also revealed in the pages of this Word as moral principles. And God never changes. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 20. These are words that Moses stated in the time of the second covenant. In verse 20, Yahweh has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. There's your principle, the separation of light from darkness, and God dividing. He has brought you forth out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. But as he brought them forth, the purpose was to be unto him a people of inheritance. Look at verses 34 and 35. Or hath Elohim essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand, by stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that Yahweh, he is Elohim, and there is none beside him. And as we look at those words, brothers and sisters, in verse 34, as Yahweh went out to take a nation for himself, he plucked them out of the nation of Egypt. And there by temptations, by trials and signs and wonders, war and a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and great terrors, according to all that he did for them, he is bringing them forth and he showed them that they might know that Yahweh is their Elohim. And so when we look at the affairs of the nations, you and I discover exactly the same thing. That the servants that are working amongst the nations are there with the work of Yahweh himself. Now try and imagine the work involved for the Elohim to manipulate the natural circumstances of world history to fulfill Yahweh's will and to teach us that his hand is at work for his saints. Because that's the purpose of it, isn't it? As we look through the pages of the whole world history before us, and we look at the moral principles that are contained in this word of truth, and you imagine the work that's involved for those Elohim as they had consulted there with the Heavenly Father, and as they are divinely manipulating the natural circumstances of world history to fulfill the eternal purpose of the Father, that the saints, you and I, might know that he's at work, that his hand is at work amongst the nations. Because you see, God's work with the nations is for the express purpose of his saints, that they might come to know and understand him and see his hand being outworking amongst the nations to fulfill his purpose. You look at the time that Israel cried unto Yahweh in Exodus chapter 6. In verse 5 he said, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, I will rid you out of their bondage, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, I will take you to me for a people, and I'll be to you a God. And you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, which bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I swear to give to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am Yahweh. And so what he's stating there, it is the covenant God of Israel. He is going to do the work that he promised to the fathers. And when you look at verses 6 and 7 and 8 there, brothers and sisters, you look at all the things that God says he's going to do. I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I'm going to rid you out of their bondage. I'm going to redeem you with a stretched out arm and great judgments. I'm going to take you to me for a people and will be to you your Elohim, and you shall know. So brothers and sisters, what's different? Every one of us knows the truth of those words. You see, the Elohim that did that for the whole nation of Israel, the Elohim are at work in our life too. And we know that Yahweh can bring us out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He's rid us from the bondage of sin and death. He's redeemed us with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. He's taken us to be a people for his name. And therefore we understand the work of the Elohim in our life, as they serve those who shall be heirs of salvations. And we shall know by experience, brothers and sisters, that Yahweh is our Elohim. So what have we seen? We've seen the hand of the Father at work in the nation of Israel. But to see true to the prophetic pattern as they have worked in their universal work with the nations, we've seen exactly the same principles at work in your life and in my life. It makes it a very real thing, doesn't it? As we see the hand of the Father. You look at to the Red Sea crossing in Exodus 14 and verses 13 and 14. Fear not, verse 13, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh which he will show to you today. For in the principle of separation of light from darkness, the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Yahweh shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And as they saw it happen, brothers and sisters, the most incredible thing was happening before their eyes. They saw the hand of Yahweh at work in the affairs of the nation called Egypt. And here we stand today. And all around us is the hand of the Father at work in amongst the affairs of the nations. Not in the miraculous as we see it here, but in the providential work of the Elohim. And through the eye of faith we need to be able to perceive these principles at work and amongst those nations. And we can stand still and see that Yahweh is fighting for us. And then in awe and respect, it's a bit like Peter, isn't it? And the transfiguration of Christ. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Hold your peace. So, brothers and sisters, we come to a very personal relationship with our God as we're watching the affairs of the nations. You see, David recognized the same principles in his life. He was able to identify the events of Israel's history as the same type of principles in his own. Look through to Psalm 18. It's telling us that history becomes alive and active when we can understand that God has been working through the instrument of his Elohim in the affairs of the nations. And here we see the same type of thing happening in this faithful man's life. As he looks upon his enemies that went before him, in verse 18. They went before me in the day of my calamity, but Yahweh was my protector or support. He brought me forth into a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. You look at the words previously there, as David is looking in his own life in verse 6. And bear in mind what Israel were like as they came before the Red Sea. In my distress I called upon Yahweh and cried unto my Elohim. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was angry. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness, there's the same theme again, was suppressed under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, he did fly upon the wings of the Spirit. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about with dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And then the thunder and the lightning, the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. And Yahweh thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And so it continues on in that same language. But what David has picked up is that in his own personal life, he's seen the same sort of principles involved. God was able to deliver him from the hand of his enemies round about. And he just didn't see the situation with Absalom, with Shimei, with Zebrim, with Saul, just as ordinary situations. He looked at it and he saw, brothers and sisters, the principles of separation unfolding before him. He saw the very same picture in his life that was happening to Israel in the days of Moses. And as we come to our own life, brothers and sisters, we can see the same sort of thing. The hand of the mighty Father at work. And it's true that as we look at those things, we don't see the ground shaking and the thunder and the lightning and the waters and so forth. But what we do see are exactly the same principles. As the storms come over us and our moulding of the character is taking place, we learn to trust the fact that no matter how black and how dark the circumstances, Yahweh is light to us and he will bring us through those things to a new way of life. So all these things were involved in the consultative work of the Elohim in the terms of that chapter Amos 3 verse 7. They worked together for the sake of their charges, those who are to be heirs of salvation. Have a look in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel 10 and verses 12 and 13. Then said he unto me, verse 12, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thine Elohim, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And look at the effect on Daniel as he came to understand the prophetic word. I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb when he had spoken such words unto me. There was an immense power, brothers and sisters, and the prophetic word understood. As Daniel was praying for help, he wanted to know and understand. And as the words went forth, then God's angel came, and his words were heard, and he came because of the words that Daniel had spoken. And therefore, as the servant of God was able to work together with another servant of God, through the pages of the prophetic word, brothers and sisters, you and I can share together in the communication that took place on that day. And we read those words expressed to Daniel, and we see the impact that it had upon him as he came to understand the work of prophecy. Why do we need to understand the way that the Elohim work in the affairs of the nations today? See, as we're looking at it all, it's not merely the unfolding of God's purpose with mankind on the earth now and in the pages of history. You see, there's something even far greater. Because in the time when the kingdom is going to be established, when the Lord Jesus Christ has come, the resurrection and judgment has taken place, the marriage of the Lamb has taken place, and that intense consultation with our Lord at that day takes place, we're going to be out there working amongst the nations as the time that we're exalted as king priests and to reign with him. We need to develop the ability of working together to the glory of God now. Because you see, in ecclesial life and family life, we can come to understand what is involved in intense consultation together. We see it with the work of Yahweh and his Elohim. And we need to learn to do it now, brothers and sisters, so that our minds can come together on the truth. Because with that intense consultation that can take place within family life and ecclesial life, we can start to learn to help each other and to work together to that one objective, that in the time to come we might be king priests and reign with our Lord. When we're together with Christ, then the universal work with the nations will come into our care during the millennial age. Those deep consultations, those close deliberations of the saints with their Lord will be the time when we are given the work to do in the kingdom. What exquisite pleasure sharing all this together with our Lord. The Word made flesh, now embodied in the multitude of glorified saints. He shall go forth as Yahweh Sabaoth of Zechariah chapter 14. They shall turn forth as, after the wonderful work of the overthrowing of the power of the nations, they shall be revealed as Adonai Yahweh, he who will be rulers of Ezekiel 38. Or the he who will be mighty ones, the Yahweh Elohim of Zechariah 14. All the multitude working together as one. One Yahweh. Until finally, in the terms of Zechariah chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Let us read that together in conclusion. Zechariah chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. As we have gone forth and amongst the nations, and we have gone forth to do the work of God, the Elohim of the future age, working that universal work with the nations at that time, we go forth in verse 10. The man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom Yahweh hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of Yahweh that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Now those words in the time of Zechariah were great significance to the people of Israel. Because you see, they could be confident that the Elohim of that day had already worked their work in amongst the nations around and calmed them all down. And helped and encouraged the brethren of that day to complete the work which they had begun. But you see, there's also that is typical of the greater work in the age to come. When we go forth, walking to and fro through the earth, so to speak. And when we come back, we've walked to and fro through the earth. And behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. 1,000 years, brothers and sisters, of millennial rest. As we capture the sense of those words, they become alive to us, don't they? And therefore, the universal work of the Elohim with the nations brings a greater significance for us. Because as we look at those events, we can see the moral principles of God's word being outworked in the prophetic word. We can also see the pattern of the work that you and I could be involved in that kingdom age. And therefore, we have finished our work. At that day, behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest.